Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And this radio program is number 32 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about whether the Lord knows us. Many of us, we claim to know the Lord, and there's many in the Bible that claimed to know the Lord too, but when they stood before him, he said, "I don't know you." And so this is something I think is very serious that we should really ponder and really think upon as whether the Lord knows us. I woke up this week, and the scripture was on my mind, and it was Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And it's, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works and cast out devils?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me.'" This is a very, what I would consider a very scary scripture, that the Lord says that he doesn't know us when we say that we know him. So what it really is saying is that many will think that they know me, but in reality, they don't. They don't know the real me. And I have written an article a while back that I want to go over because I really think this is something all of us really need to ponder, is whether the Jesus that is being preached or the one that we think we know is the same Jesus. And what I saw when I saw this scripture, Matthew 7:23, was that it said, "I never knew you." And I felt like what the Lord was showing me was almost like a coin. It was the same coin, but it had two sides. One was, "I never knew you," and the other side was, "You never knew me." And if we examine the other side of the coin, so to speak, whether we know him, then it puts the ball in our hands to deal with. That, do we really know him? If he said that you never knew me, so to, in many words here, is that really the case, that we don't really know him or the Bible Jesus? Maybe we know a different Jesus. And so I want to read this one article. I think it may enlighten us a little bit on some of the scriptures that he said that would really makes us think a little bit more, because many times pastors are preaching more theologically from the letters of Paul rather than really from the words of Jesus, because Jesus had some very, very strong words and many times to those that were the closest to him, that he didn't give anybody a pass, that he gave it to them straight. And so we need to hear it straight from his mouth. So let's look at this one and let's see what Jesus said here. You can find this article on Strength for the Journey. It's under articles. It's called, "Will a Real Jesus Please Stand Up?" Is the Jesus preached in the majority of churches today the same Jesus of the Bible? Most believers today would say yes, but when examining the real or actual words of Jesus written in the Bible, there appears to be some contradiction. It's important to understand the words of someone's instructions in order to properly follow those instructions. It would be no different than properly understanding directions in order to arrive at a desired destination or location. If the desired location is heaven, let's examine the directions to heaven. Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to." This is Luke chapter 13, verse 24. The Greek word for strive means to struggle, fight, labor fervently, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary or endeavor to accomplish something. The Greek word for straight means narrow because of obstacles. It could read this way: many will attempt to get into the kingdom, but won't be able to because of their failure to struggle, fight, or labor fervently, and thus will allow obstacles to block and hinder their entrance. Jesus said it another way in Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate, and that is the Greek word narrow, from obstacles standing about or close about an entrance, and narrow is the way, narrow coming from the Greek word meaning afflicted or suffer tribulation on the journey, which leads to life. And few, a Greek word meaning puny in number, there be that find it. Jesus said the road is narrow and travelers few, but those who traveled the narrow path would find life, eternal life. On the other hand, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Matthew 7:13. If only those on the narrow path will find eternal life, and if eternal life with Jesus is our true desire, then wouldn't it be wise to make sure we're actually on the narrow road to life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. He also said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. If we believe that he is who he said he was, shouldn't we seriously consider the words of the Master, especially if we call him Lord and Savior, and examine whether or not we truly are of those he calls his followers and servants? The Jesus of the Bible said, if any man come to me and hate not, meaning love less, his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. And whosoever be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. Jesus created the mold for a true disciple of his. The question is, can we conform to his mold? Do we have a willing and moldable heart? Is he truly our master? Many in Jesus' day desired to follow him, Luke 9:57-62, but couldn't because they weren't willing to strive to enter at the straight gate and conform to his mold. What about those of us today? Remember, Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10:9. There's no other access into his kingdom. It's his kingdom and his wedding. He reserves the right to set the criteria for entrance during his courtship with us. Are you coming in by the door, or will you attempt to be a wedding crasher and look for another way? Those looking for another way, an easier way, will become susceptible to accept another gospel by another spirit or another Jesus. Paul warned us, or the believers of the Macedonian church in Corinth, not to follow any other Jesus. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And that being bear with means to suffer morally with him. The Living Bible reads it this way: you seem so gullible, you believe whatsoever anyone tells you, even if he is preaching about another Jesus than the one we preach, or another spirit than the Holy Spirit than you have received, and shows you a different way than you to be saved, you swallow it all. If someone says a sinner's prayer, does that mean that he will be saved forever no matter what they do or don't do? Does anyone saying I do to initiate a marriage mean that they will always remain married? A married person must strive and labor fervently to fulfill the marriage commitment, just as we must strive to enter in at the straight gate, resisting temptations, remaining faithful. A sinner's prayer is just the commitment, the I do, if you will, to begin a new life, our marriage with Jesus. The rest of our life is the test of obedience and faithfulness to be to him as his bride. If entering the kingdom was as simple as mouthing a prayer or even being religious, Jesus would have said so. He painted quite a different picture, which is why many walked away from him, unwilling to submit to the qualifications of entry. John 6, verse 66. The real Jesus said, I tell you, no, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. The real Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, to whom he defended and forgave her of her adulterous past, "Go and sin no more." John 8:11. There is a response and a life of repentance that must follow his forgiveness. The real Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and done in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you.'" John 7:21-22. In other words, the real Jesus was saying, "You were serving the wrong Jesus. It wasn't me. I, the real Jesus, never knew you. I, the real Jesus, said, 'If you wanted to follow me, you must deny yourself. No longer live for yourself. Pick up your cross, commit yourself to your own death for me. Then come follow me.' You must have been following a different Jesus, because it wasn't me. I never knew you. For many shall come in my name, claiming to represent me, saying, 'I, Jesus, am the Christ, the Messiah,' and shall deceive many." Jesus wouldn't have warned his followers to not be deceived by those claiming to represent him, including teachers that were, if it weren't possible. The enemy's attempt with any false doctrine is to deceive and lead a believer astray. "This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Galatians 5:8-9. No one is immune from deception. All of us must search for the truth like hidden treasure and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the religious systems and false teachings of this day, just as Jesus warned his followers during his day. Matthew 16:5-12. Eternal life and where we spend it is nothing to take lightly. The consequences of receiving wrong directions would be eternally devastating, more than anyone can imagine. Were you led down the easy, widened path to salvation? Many will be deceived into believing that they are following the real Jesus. Wouldn't it be wise to examine the real possibility of deception? Just because driving down a highway, just imagine driving down a highway. Maybe it's been a while since you've seen some road signs. Wouldn't it be better time than now to pull over and check your road map? The road map to heaven is the Word of God, and the directions to His kingdom are His own words, not a man's. Jesus' words were very clear and straightforward. Although difficult to hear and receive, they're still the truth. If we are truly seeking to enter into His kingdom, we must enter under His conditions. He either enters in, not by the door, into the sheepfold. But climbs up some other way is the same as a thief or a robber, John 10:1. If we enter in under another's conditions, we will enter the wrong kingdom. If you haven't found the real Jesus or just aren't sure, He is as only as far away as our heart. If you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such that be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34:18. A contrite spirit from the Hebrew means humble, brokenhearted for sin, and deeply affected with grief and sorrow of heart for having offended a holy God. To the man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word, Isaiah 66:2. God is looking for a man or woman with a contrite spirit. Why? Because He's looking for a place to dwell. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit, Isaiah 57:15. Just as we enjoy a humble abode, God is looking for one as well. You know, God is looking for a home, a place, a dwelling place. And in John chapters 13 through 17, he talks a lot about looking. He's looking for a home. He's looking to dwell in a place. And we, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, is that dwelling place that he desires to live. And he's looking for someone who is broken and of a contrite spirit. And this is the real Jesus is looking for brokenness. He's not looking for pride. And so many today have a misconception of their salvation. They think that just because they go to church on Sunday, just because they read their Bible occasionally, there's something that God is looking for, a hungry heart, one that is desiring to please Him in everything that they do. And sadly, this is not the condition of the church today. It's not a condition that they guard themselves against the things of this world. John in the first gospel, or First John, it talks about all that's in the world: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these are the enemy's strategies to attempt to enter into us and to access our life through our flesh. And the Bible says to give no provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And this is the thing that we must guard ourselves against. We're going to listen to a song here in just a moment. It's a song by Hillsong, and it's called To Know Your Name.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ redeems, forgiven of my life, restored, set free. Your majesty resides inside of me. Forever I believe, forever I believe. Arrested by your truth and righteousness, your grace is overwhelming.
1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him there is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Jesus put it this way in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." In verse 21, it says, "He that has my commandments and keeps them is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." And then in verse 23, it says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings." So this is all about a relationship. This is about a relationship that Jesus wants with each one of us. It's a love relationship. It's a relationship based on obedience. And this is what it's all about, is that God is looking for those that love him enough to obey. He said there's two main commandments that God gave us: to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like this. It says that we love our neighbor as ourself. And one of the things that our demonstration of our love is by being obedient, because it's like, if you really care about somebody, you wouldn't want to hurt them. If you really love somebody, you wouldn't want to hurt them by doing something that is against them. And this is about the relationship that God is establishing. When we say "I do," when we say a sinner's prayer, or we commit our life to him, then it's about our life that demonstrates whether or not we really do love him. And this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is the challenging part that many don't want to be challenged in. They want to just say, "Well, I said the prayer, so that's good enough. My pastor said that was good enough, and I'm saved no matter what I do." But really, let's examine the words of Jesus, because your pastor is not the door that you'll have to pass through when we all stand before the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the door." We have to go through him. So we need to go through his words. He gave us his words as the guide map or the road map to his kingdom. And if we try to go any other way than his words, the Bible says we're no different than a thief or a robber if we try to access his kingdom any other way. You know, many times when he said that his words were life, he said, "I am the bread of life, and he that eats my words," and he talks many times that the words are like our bread, that it's our meal. And the sad thing, many people desire an easy meal. They desire just what I would consider free food Christians, that they want the easy free food. But I think the Gospel of John chapter 6 demonstrates what happens to people really as far as their relationship with the Lord if they're just looking for an easy free meal. There was a multitude that were fed in the first part of the Gospel of John verse 6 or chapter 6. And when they came for another meal, when they looked for him, Jesus said, "You just came to me because of the food, essentially. You didn't come because of the miracles I did. You just want another meal." And he essentially was going to serve them a difficult meal to test and see who really was there because they wanted whatever Jesus had to say. And when he gave them a difficult meal, he said, "Well, try this meal. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And what happened was they made a judgment on something they didn't understand. They didn't understand what he was saying, so they didn't pursue an understanding. They just, at the lack of understanding, they rejected those words. And when Peter said something that is so revelating is that when he looked at his other disciples, after he said many of his disciples walked away, no longer walked with him, in John chapter 6, verse 66, and he looked over his disciples and the other 12, and he said, "Are you going to walk away too? Are you going to leave me?" And he said, and Peter jumped up and said, "Lord, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of life." And this is the key to following the Lord, no matter what he has to say to us, no matter how difficult the road becomes for us. We have to determine in our heart that only he has the words of life, because there's going to be difficult times ahead. And if we don't have a commitment as unto death, if we haven't qualified ourselves, according to Luke chapter 14, that if there's anything or anybody that we love more than him, even our own life, that we will likely deny him when that day comes, because we will try to save our life because we've never really given it up. This is why Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. And we have to already come to that conclusion that no matter what it costs us, whether it even be our own life, that nothing will come between us and our obedience to God. This is, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, that he that says, "I know him," and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So this is the importance of obedience, is that we're only fooling ourselves if we think that we know him, but we're not obedient to him. So this is a time of testing, I believe, is coming, and we're all going to be sifted. And I just really want to encourage people now to really focus on the relationship with the Lord. Put that as, get into the Word of God. Read the Word for yourself. Don't expect somebody else to feed you. You need to get the Holy Spirit to feed you as you read the Word of God, and he will. Just ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, reveal to me the truth as I read your Word," and he will do that. So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.